Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's, so
that's awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome. That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Hey, Steve.
Yo, Bradford.
What's going on, man?
What's happening? Happy 4th of July weekend.
Happy Independence Day.
Yes.
The most
whoop, whoop. The most
codependent pair there is, us.
Yeah, right, exactly. Coffee. What's going on, man? How was the 4th for you?
I feel like I told you how excited we were for 4th of July. So both Finola and Juna have separately told us that it's their favorite day of the year. Finola especially this
year. That's amazing. Over Christmas, too.
Over Christmas. So excited.
Wow, that's awesome.
Because how we start our day on 4th of July is we do a parade. In East Sacramento, it's like a neighborhood parade. The girls ride their bikes or scooters, and it's just like everybody's out. Then we go to grandma's house. There's a block party. There's a blow-up slide, snow cones. Awesome. And then this year, we were going to come back to our place, and there was a community gathering there, cookout in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Like just like bam, 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 fun all day.
Love it.
3 a.m., July 4th.
3 a.m. What happened?
Mommy.
Oh, no.
Mommy.
Blech.
Finola comes into our room. She's like, it keeps happening. What keeps happening?
Blech. Oh, gosh. Oh, and, no. Poor thing.
And immediately the thought goes into my head, 4th of July is ruined.
Over.
Yeah. Like, and I think I even told you like that 4th of July was our one day pretty much all summer.
Yeah,
where we weren't going to work. We had all these cool things planned. It was going to be like the day of the summer. It was going to be like a mini vacation. Cool. It was a fun, 100% fun day.
Yeah.
Torpedoed.
No.
Torpedoed.
Isn't parenthood the best?
Oh, dude. And she, I mean, gosh, she was a pretty good,
sport. She was a good sport.
Pretty good sport about it. But God, we felt so bad for her.
Oh, dude, it's the worst, man.
So bad for her.
It's the worst.
She was like, part of the day, she's like, I'm feeling better. Can I go to something?
And, man.
But then.
Who took one for the team? Karen,
my intrepid wife, of course. Well, because she knew that you and I were going out on tour. She's like, we didn't know what kind of flu or stomach. We didn't know if it was going to be like a week-long thing or a 24-hour thing. She's like, you can't get sick. You have to go on tour. You can't get sick. She's like. And Juna had a musical theater camp performance Saturday night. And so we didn't want Juna to miss her camp performance either. So Kira's like, you and Juna get out of the house.
Yeah, good.
So Juna and I went off and did all the fun stuff. And Kira and Finola were in throw up land.
Did you drink?
A little bit.
Then you're fine. You were fine.
So, but we just felt so bad for her, but it ended up being like a 6-hour thing and she was done with it.
Good.
So by the next morning she felt almost 100%.
Great. So she just quit. So she quit and throwing up. She wasn't dehydrated or anything.
Yeah, no, we got some Pedialyte just in case, but she ended up being fine. Yeah. And then she was eating some stuff by the afternoon that day.
And, yeah. Good.
But Juna said best day best day ever.
Like, that's amazing.
I got to do things without my little sister, which is unique to her now.
Sometimes that's freeing. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So she had her own day on her own terms. And she even felt guilty when she said that. She's like, Dad, I feel kind of bad, but I had a great day.
That's awesome.
So she and I had a lot of fun together. And poor Kira and Finola had to.
Yeah.
But Kira got some work done and whatever. But anyway, how was your fourth?
Fourth was good. I mean, you know, it's Brooklyn's birthday actually today.
Oh, that's right. Happy birthday,
yeah,
Brooklyn.
She's awesome. 5 years old. But we went last weekend because we knew that we were, you know, we didn't want to go to Disneyland on 4th of July weekend.
Oh, sure.
Sure. Right. So we went last weekend, actually on my birthday.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We were there for my birthday.
Too bad they don't have Coors Light at Disneyland.
They had something over there. They got that IPA truck.
What?
Now.
A California Adventure?
Yeah, California Adventure. Yeah.
Yeah, in Disneyland. Yeah. The only place you can get at Disneyland now is in the cantina in Star Wars Land.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's just start with that.
All right, Star Wars Land.
Okay, so, well, you're not allowed to call it Star Wars Land.
Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah. I said, what do you mean? I go, where's Star Wars Land? So he goes, Galaxy's Edge is right over here. I go, you can't call it Star Wars Land? He's like, no. I said, why? He goes, I can't tell you.
Shut your mouth and have a magical day, is what he said.
Yes.
Shut your mouth and have a magical day.
And get into the cantina now. So, but man, that's pretty cool though, huh? They didn't leave any detail out at all.
No. My kids don't know anything about Star Wars, so they could have given two craps about it.
Sure.
But they did it for me. They went in and we went on the Millennium Falcon ride.
Yes.
And they're both traumatized for life.
Was that the last ride you guys did
they both wanted to be astronauts. Not anymore. They're like,
yeah,
bad things happen in space. I never want to be on a spaceship again. Bad things happen in space.
Yeah. They will not work for Elon Musk. So
nope. No SpaceX in their future. Yeah.
So I texted you. I go, you know, how the girls do? You said, not great.
Right.
But, you know, Brooklyn wanted to go on it.
Sure.
So we went on it twice. So the first time we went on it, and I wanted to see how bad it was.
Sure.
To see if she
went on it without the girls?
Yeah. Me, Jack and McKenna went on it.
Okay, great.
And then we just, all right, let's do it. And then Brooklyn's like, I want to go. I go, okay, let's go.
Right.
So she powered through it. She goes, I don't really like this. But then afterward, she goes, that was a great ride, you know, but whatever.
But she wasn't screaming the whole time.
No, she was just kind of silent.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, just kind of like
full on screamed for her life the entire
time. They did?
Yeah. I felt so bad. We were in
she
the ride.
She was screaming
like, like she just couldn't, like she was scared out of her mind. I mean, poor girl thought she was in space getting attacked. Like I don't blame her.
I know. You forget how realistic it is.
So
I mean,
real.
Dude, it is so real. And I'm like, Brooklyn, this is fake. We're not in space.
Right.
We're not in space.
Yeah.
We're not flying this thing.
I felt so bad because we had, you know, it was the four of us and six people go in the cockpit at one time, right?
Oh yeah, you ruined somebody's adventure. Oh,
totally, dude. And it was this couple in their low third, you know, and he was wearing a full on burlap.
Oh, he was a Star Wars guy.
Had a lightsaber on his belt. And
he was, get a life.
Oh man, he was in it to win it. And
you mean the one you can buy for $250?
Oh yeah, that's what I love about Galaxy's Edge. Boy, do they know how to turn a dime there? Because
dude,
hey, come build a droid and then buy it. Build your lightsaber.
But did you know there's one for sale that's $25,000?
Come on,
an R2-D2. They'll send it to your house and it will do whatever you want. Well, whatever.
No, it won't. No, it won't.
I have a Roomba.
Is it going to make you a cappuccino? No, it's not going to make you.
I have a Roomba. I don't need anything else.
It's just a remote control you can put your.
Isn't that crazy though, dude?
You can put your TV remote on it and drive it over your.
Well, supposedly it has some AI in there. So whatever. Who cares? But anyway, it was fun. Star Wars or Galaxy's Edge was fun. Yeah. But it was great, man, because we haven't taken a vacation for a while.
Sure.
Yeah. We stayed at the park that night. We stayed at the Grand Californian.
Amazing.
It was just, you know, it was just great. We just checked in to the hotel and went to the park, which was awesome. Went to both parks, which was great.
Tremendous.
And then we finished up there, and it's cool, man. It's a great hotel. If nobody's ever gone to the Grand California, it's awesome.
It is great. Disneyland Hotel is awesome too. Like you can't like
yeah no you can't lose, man. Because you have downtown Disney also, and it's just yeah. just such they know how to do it, man. My hat's off to them.
Even though we work for ABC, we are saying this unsolicited.
Correct. They know how to do it. It's fun. It was great. She had a great time. You know, she did a lot of the rides, dude. Like that Goofy roller coaster. You been on that thing?
I tried to get my kids to go on it, and
it's a little hairy.
It's on top of the building, right?
Yeah, it's a little hairy up there.
Yeah.
So she did it. There was a few good drops, and so she's brave in it.
My kids went on Thunder Mountain. Like my kids are not
afraid of stuff.
Rides.
That's awesome.
And Finola wanted to go on the in California Adventure. There's like a tube water ride, like a rapids ride, where a circular, and it's like a and so you go down the rapids. And she wanted to go on, and I was like, "Are you serious?" And she's like, "Yeah."
Oh, that's the something river, Raging River, or something. Yeah. I don't know.
So she went on that with me, and she loved it. And
really.
Okay, I guess we have a roller coaster fan in the family.
That's so then
the next day we were at Disneyland, and they were like, "Yeah, let's do Thunder Mountain." And even Juno, who is not adventurous at all, said, "I'll do it." And
oh, that's awesome.
So Juno loved it. Finola was traumatized. She had a tough day that day. Galaxy's Edge, and then Pirates of the Caribbean. They don't find Pirates of the Caribbean funny either. It's just all scary.
Yeah, no, they do take all your money from you though.
I mean, magically,
like all like empty.
Yeah. Yeah,
like definitely. The wallet's empty, the ATM card's empty.
Right.
It's like for lunch it was $100.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
For five people.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
They get you. They get you.
They get you. That's right. It's funny because Galaxy's Edge was empty.
I know, because you need a reservation.
Yeah, they did. So what I was talking to somebody there, they're like, yeah, it kind of backfired the whole. Hey, make a reservation, get your boarding pass. People didn't understand the process, right? And they just became afraid. Like they're like, we're not going, we're not doing this, we're not waiting in line, we're not going to get the boarding pass. We have no idea what we're doing anyway.
Totally.
So nobody went.
Right.
Which is crazy.
It worked out for everybody else that did have a reservation.
Oh, it was amazing for everybody because you could just go on the ride right in a row. It was no wait at all.
Yeah, so. It was tremendous. So
yeah. But wait, dude, what about these earthquakes?
Dude, I was thinking about you guys. I haven't been down there, so I...
So you haven't felt... You didn't feel nothing.
I didn't feel nothing. Ooh. Some people up here did, but yeah, what was it like for you guys?
You know, we're close to the beach, so it wasn't, it wasn't real bad. It was pretty far from us, but...
Right.
It was good. I mean, I felt... The first one I felt, I was just sitting on the couch. I'm like, I think that's an earthquake. The second one, I was outside on the street, and I was moving.
Oh, really?
Moving and shaking. It was a good one. It was a good one.
So. Was it a rolly or?
It was kind of a roller. Yeah. It wasn't a shaker, but I think in Ridgecrest where it happened, it was a shaker. The second one was a shaker. So Northridge in 91, I think it was 91 Northridge, right?
Yeah.
That's the big one.
Right.
For the Valley. That was big. I think it was six or 6.7.
Wow. And but this was.
Yeah. And that other one was almost 7.0, right?
7.1, they said.
Yeah. So Northridge, it was more of a kind of like, someone picked up a shoebox and you're in it and they just went like that.
Oh.
Just shook it because 50 plus people died in Northridge.
That's crazy.
Because buildings just collapsed. But out in Ridgecrest, I guess, thank God, no fatalities. But,
right, yeah.
I mean, 7.1, that was bigger than Northridge. Northridge. That's crazy.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a number that...
That's the number you don't want to see.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's not an urban area. So that is maybe why, there wasn't as much damage. But
dude, I just thinking about it. I'm like, man, because there was one, I think, in the early 1900s, 20s or 30s that... decimated San Francisco.
Well, but and remember the one that I forget what the big one in San Francisco was recently, but that was like
right.
Was that an 8.1 or a 7 something? I mean,
it's crazy, dude.
Yeah, no, dude, that is that, we're happy in Sacramento for a lot of reasons, and one of them is not about that. I tell you, dude, like that, when you get into the mindset of expecting thinking that the big one, like a big one could hit at
eight, I know
it gets in your head, man. It does. Like, I
know it's crazy. It's kind of people are, I mean, you know, growing up back east, you know, tornadoes was what you were worried about, you know.
Right, yeah.
And I was always, I wasn't really afraid of them. You get a warning, you can kind of figure it out. But with earthquakes, you don't get a warning. So anyone who doesn't live in California is like, screw that. I ain't good. I'm not going there for earthquakes. No, no way. I'd rather run from a tornado.
Yeah. But, you
know, it's, yeah. I've been through all of them though here, dude. All of them.
And you're still happy.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, it was they were bad, but you know, I went to pick up my buddy one morning for the Northridge Wander, like 4 a.m. to go surfing.
Yeah.
We were so tired. I'm just sitting on his couch and he was sitting on his futon and I kind of look over, I go, dude, why are you shaking? He was just like, I'm like, I said, oh man, it's an earthquake. And we went to go outside of his house and it was the kind of apartment where there was a pool in the middle.
Oh yeah.
Dude, the freaking pool was like
sloshing.
Oh dude, like sloshing 6-7 feet out of the pool. And I'm like, everyone's always like, take cover. I go, no, get out. I go into the middle of the street.
Yeah. Right. They say if you can get outside, that's good, I guess. Right. But
I'll take my chances dodging stuff, dude. Honestly. Because I can't dodge I can't dodge a building falling on me.
No, that's tough.
Yeah, you're not dodging that.
You're pretty agile.
Yeah, I'm pretty quick, but I'm not going to out.
Some would say you're built like a house.
Or a building.
Or a building, built like a building.
What kind of house? Like an Adobe or a...
double wide.
You're so stupid. I'm trying to get down to a single wide, dude. Yeah. I'm trying.
Back in the mid-2000s, you were a double wide.
Yeah, it was totally. When I couldn't fit in the air conditioner duct at work, I was a double wide.
Hunch.
I was like, oh. So speaking of work, dude. Work's
yeah, dude.
Good. There's a lot of stuff going on at work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your little table's turned on you a little bit.
Recently. Yeah, man, it's been the story's been fun.
Usually when you're in an interrogation room, you're sweating a little bit and you weren't the one doing the sweating this time. Well, I guess you're never gonna really be in trouble. And if the great thing is if Jason goes to Pentonville, Steve gets a little vacation, so that's good.
I know. No, remember last time I went with Michael. Michael did not get a vacation.
Oh, that's true. Poor Michael.
I know, poor Michael. But you know, first he did it was great. We had some scenes where he had to play drunk, right? So I'm going up.
That's funny.
Oh, dude. It's the best. It was like John Ritter playing drunk. It was the best. It was so funny. So I'm going up to Beecher's Corners to get, you know, information about Slimo. And he's got the cops on payroll up there, basically, right?
So he does.
He's got the whole town on payroll. So the cop was giving me a hard time and he arrested me because we were going to bring back a witness to testify and he caught us, whatever.
Right.
So he puts me in jail and Michael comes.
What's the jail like in Beecher's Corners? What are the amenities like?
Have you seen Andy Griffin? That's pretty much what it was.
A ring of keys, like hanging with like,
totally. I'm like, where's the key?
Oh man.
So Michael comes in to save me and he's playing basically drunk and it was just so funny, dude.
Wait a second. So Chad,
he's pretending. Yes.
Is Michael actually drunk or Michael is pretending to be drunk?
Michael is pretending to be drunk to bust me out.
I see. Okay.
He knows I'm in there. So he brings me a paperclip.
Wait a second. So he tries to get in the drunk tank. Like he tries to get arrested.
Well, I don't know if there was only one cell. So
right.
So he's trying to get arrested.
Disorderly conduct. He's trying to get
exactly right. Okay. Right.
Right.
So another cop brings him in.
So and is he like saying like disrespectful things?
No, not really. But he was pretty funny though, dude. It was good. He did a good job.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, that goes back to my whole thing of not liking playing drunk.
Well, I mean, when you're playing drunk for comedic effect, like to be when your character is pretending to be drunk, that's a little bit easier than when you have to pull it off for real when your character is actually drunk and has to do something like either emotional or like, that's hard. You kind of think too much about it. And
oh, yeah, that's what I freaking just bombed my audition playing drunk.
Oh, man.
It was horrible. It was
self-tape. Awful. Did you go in for it or was it self-tape?
No, I went in for it.
Oh, and that's even worse.
And it was for a big movie. And I haven't heard anything. But
you haven't heard back.
Yeah, no, they're not gonna hear back. So you know, one of my biggest things I hate as an actor is to play drunk. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Because if you're not really good at it, it just looks really bad.
It's terrible.
And it takes everybody out of the scene, right? Absolutely. You know, when you watch, even people who aren't actors watch, I go, oh, that guy's not really drunk. He's just acting drunk, right?
And they always say that drunk people don't act drunk. Drunk people pretend to not. Drunk people try to not look drunk.
Yeah.
So that's like the best way to play it. But that's hard too.
But it's hard too. And so this thing kind of had to be emotional also. So I was like, oh, man. So I called Maurice. I text him. I go, dude, I don't know, man. This thing is whatever. This scene, it's whatever. I got to play drunk, and I don't have time to do it. I'm working. He's like, you have to do it. Yeah. I go, oh, come on, man. Really? He goes, just go do it.
I love just that. He's in that phase where he's just like putting himself out there all the time. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, you got to go do it and just be uncomfortable, you know, which I know he's right. So,
yeah.
So I worked on it for like 2 days, man, you know, and I felt pretty good about it. I felt, you know, I was kind of getting the nuances down because Lord knows I might've had a few in my time. So
you have some experience to pull from a little bit.
Yes. I'm 100% method. Yeah, that experience.
You did a couple of days of just research, really, is what you did.
Yeah, I was just researching for about 25 years. So I went in. I have not been in an audition room forever.
Yeah. Did you get nerves?
Huh?
You get some nerves?
I wasn't super nervous.
No.
I think it's always kind of like you assess the situation when you get to the office, right?
Sure.
If you walk in and there's 30 guys, then you kind of feel like, this is... I'll go find my spot out in the hallway. You know what I mean? So, but there was like 3 guys there, and honestly, they were all different types for this role. So that made me feel better that I didn't completely tank it.
Right.
So there was a guy who actually looked like Michael Knight, had gray hair like Michael McDonald.
That's amazing.
Like, that dude, we're auditioning for the same role. So I go in there and I said, so, she goes, you want some background? I go, yeah, go ahead. And she goes, by the way, you don't have to play drunk. And I'm like, come on.
Right. Why didn't they?
I just spent 2 days.
Right.
Doing this. Because if you know, if you're not drunk, you're playing the scene completely different.
Totally. Yeah.
Right. I mean, luckily I knew the scene well enough where I could make some adjustments, but I just didn't. Yeah. I didn't feel good, dude. I did it a couple times and I'm like, I can't do it. So anyway,
you think they would think it was, that was useful information to pass on to your agent so that your agent could be like, oh, by the way,
I know, but I'm happy I did it and I'm happy I worked it and I went and did it and it was great and whatever. So back to Chad playing drunk. He was great.
Yeah.
He had to get into jail to give me a paperclip.
And paperclip's all you need.
That's all I need. And I got out of jail free.
What, got out of you broke out of a cell with a paperclip?
Yep.
Wow.
What do you mean, dude?
They have a lot of faith in you.
Dude, and it wasn't really a big paperclip either.
Well, here's the thing. Which jails are not electronic these days? Come on.
Oh, come on, dude. You know there's jails all over the country that still take a key. When we're in Alabama,
we'll try to get arrested just to find
we're
out.
We're going to go to a small town and get you arrested.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh,
we're going to go to a small California
ID and be like, you're not.
We're going to go to a really small town in Alabama and get you arrested, boy.
Yeah, that'll be a good time.
No, that would not be a good time at
all. They say all publicity is good publicity, right?
Well, that would be good for us. But not for you.
That's true. That's true.
In the jail cell, that will not be good. And I guarantee they have a key.
So now you're on the run.
I guess. I don't know what I'm doing now. I'm on the run. I meet up with Sam for a little connection.
Is it extra hot because she knows you're a wanted man?
Sure, it is. Wanted, dead or alive.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So I had these scenes with Harmony. where I need to get basically, we need to get Harmony to testify or see the light. You know, I'm still learning the story. So
right. There's a huge backstory there.
And I know you don't know anything.
Well, Harmony is Willow's mom.
Oh, okay. You do know that.
Yeah. I looked up some of this
stuff.
Okay,
good. I like that. All right, cool. Yeah. Good.
Right.
So yeah.
And Willow's a good person now. And so you need to, like, for the benefit of her daughter, you need the mom to come around.
No, I need Harmony to testify to really put Shiloh away.
Mm.
So, I mean, instead of just shooting him, which I should do.
Right.
Which I should have done.
What happened to the information that Spinelli tried to get for you with, you know,
what information was that?
Well, when we tried to do that, set him up so that he would try to like attack Sam or like, and.
Oh gosh, dude, that happened. It wasn't great.
Which part?
Well, that means she basically got drugged and I had to break in and save her.
And that wasn't enough to put Shiloh away. That was the whole point.
Yeah, that was Margo. Let him go.
Margo.
Before she left. So
curses. Yeah, that was Liz Hendrickson, right?
Yeah, Lizzie. Yeah. So anyway, whatever, dude. I can't keep track of all these stories. So.
Wow. Okay. So now you're on the run.
On the run, sort of. On, you know, still trying to figure out the Shiloh thing, because the pre-Russia clinic, Jason, would have killed this guy already, but that's
right.
Fine.
Right.
I'm a little more compassionate now. I guess I like people to live a little longer.
Yeah, that's good.
Than normal.
Well,
I did have a scene again the other day. I know you joke on the road how everybody calls you. Yeah. I did call you again.
Yes! What did we talk about?
Elizabeth is looking for Cameron.
And
and she goes, I can't find him. I said, oh, let me call Spinelli. He'll get the exact address where he's at.
Amazing.
You're
welcome, everybody. You're welcome.
So at the beginning of the next scene, I added, I go, okay, thanks, Spinelli.
Nice.
So I go, okay, thanks, Spinelli. He found him, whatever, but whatever. I'm glad to know
I'm still thought of.
Yes, you are, sir. Yeah. So I had these interrogation scenes with Harmony where they put me in the suit. And I'm not quite sure why.
Hot.
Wait a second.
Okay, wait a second. You're a fugitive, and yet you're
I might be not a fugitive.
But you walk into a jail to interrogate somebody else? That's not too bright, buddy.
Dude, I'm brain damaged.
That's true, you are. Yeah.
What do you mean? I go,
you're supposed to stay away from the guys with the badges.
Dude, I'm like, everybody in Beecher's Corners knows who I am.
Now, were you pretending to be somebody else, or were you like, hi, I'm Jason Morgan. I'm here to talk to your.
No, I did not say, hi, I'm Jason Morgan. I was pretending to be her lawyer. But
what was your lawyer
name? I didn't have a name.
You didn't have a lawyer name?
Give me one.
Herman.
Herman.
Herman Munster.
1313 Mockingbird Lane.
Herman Munster Esquire.
Herman Munster. That would make you Eddie, buddy.
Oh, absolutely. If only I had a widow's peak.
Look at that. Yeah. It'd make you Eddie. Yeah. So it was good, man. We had some good scenes where I was talking way too much.
Yeah.
I was talking. That's kind of
your new bag, buddy.
I know. A few people noted that on Twitter. Like, why is he talking so much? But whatever.
Right.
So I got her to turn on Shiloh and she broke. So it was good.
And she followed through or have yet to be
seen? Well, she's following through. Good gosh.
Right.
Yeah.
Things take a while to shake out, buddy.
Sure. I'm sure this will be dragged on until 2021.
You'll have to call me a couple more times.
Well, hopefully you're coming back. I know you got some days coming, I hope.
It's true.
In the hopper.
In the hopper, yeah. Well, so it's so convenient that you're a fugitive now because we're, you know, when people listen to this, we'll be on the road. So you are officially on the run. And I'm on the run with you.
That's how it should be.
If you go down, I'm going down with you is basically what is happening.
Perfect.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct.
Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
So we have, we sent out a clipisode link, which is this video link where people can respond and they can film videos and we get them. And so we got a bunch of people responding with interesting questions.
Really?
And, well, we haven't done a Q&A in a long time because our interviews have been really just awesome and long.
Right.
Yeah. And so we haven't needed to, you know, put anything on the end of those interviews. And, you know, like we just put them up.
And people miss that, though. They miss it.
Yeah, that's what people told us. So it's about, you know, we figured we'd not just do a couple questions, but we'd do some more. And
the cool thing is
that you're going to hear the question askers ask the questions. That was redundant. So thank you to everybody that sent in a video question. And so away we go. This first question is from Jennifer Fortune. I'm not sure how often she listens to our podcast, and I think you'll understand when you hear her question.
Okay. I'm just wondering, do you watch the show? Do you know everybody's characters inside and out and know what's going on and get mad at what's happening and truly believe like that person is their character?
Jennifer, thank you for your question.
Yes, Jennifer, thank you.
The truth is we've answered this a couple times in the show, but since you asked so earnestly, we thought we'd respond again. Steve, do you watch the show?
No.
Do you don't get mad at the characters' actions and get all frustrated by what other characters are doing?
No.
No.
No, but you know what's cool, actually, you know, because on social media people will post scenes, you know.
Yeah.
So I actually get to see some stuff. Like we were talking about the interrogation stuff. I didn't watch the show, so I didn't see all the scenes, but I saw a couple of them that people were posted.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we catch up, and you know, I stay present with the show just by social media sometimes, but I don't really watch the show.
Right.
Well,
and I remember, you know, especially when I started, I'd watch just to make sure I wasn't doing anything foolish. Like I wanted to see like what I looked like doing what I was doing, which at the time felt kind of crazy. So I did watch the show when I first started. And then as time went on, when I would hear like, you know, when DVR came up and on demand stuff, you know, because in the early days of when I started, you couldn't watch it. Maybe some stuff was on YouTube, but you know, we didn't have DVRs just yet. But what was interesting was the days where you remember shooting it and you remember thinking, oh, okay, this is either an opportunity to do something really cool.
Yeah.
Or this, I don't feel good about this at all.
Right.
There were some times where I'd be like, I'd see on social media or see that, oh, I remember shooting that. I'd kind of like to see how that turned out because I was hoping to do this. Did I accomplish what I set out to do?
Right.
So those were the times that I'd watch it when I knew specifically, like,
sure.
Yeah. So I would watch it with the intent of trying to like check up on myself to make sure I didn't make an ass of myself. But yeah, no, we don't, you know, I don't know anybody that watches the show enough to confuse our fellow actors with their characters. Although
correct.
Sometimes we will call fellow actors by their character's name, especially if you don't know the actor that well.
Sure. And that, right. and that's what people, I don't think, you know, like when I first came back, I didn't know half the people on the show and I didn't
right.
I didn't know half the people. And I would, sometimes you don't, if you don't have scenes with them, you might not even see them for months.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, you could definitely get confused that way. Be like, hey, the guy who plays Sonny.
Right. Well, and there was a couple times like Nathan Parsons played a character called Ethan.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another Nathan that played. So like sometimes you just like get confused because some of the names sounded similar.
Yeah.
But yeah, no one's up in arms about the other actors' character choices. But anyway, Jennifer, thank you so much for the question. Yes, we fully support everybody else that has those feelings. But we try to keep a healthy distance from that stuff. Our next question is from Tracy.
Tracy.
Hi, guys. I just want to know, do you all have as much fun off the set as you do on the set together? Thanks.
Tracy, thank you for your question.
Thank you so much.
We actually have more fun off camera than we do on camera.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, especially me.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, you're not allowed to have any fun on camera.
I don't have any fun on
if
camera.
If you have any fun on camera, they cut.
They're going like, Steve, stop doing that.
Stop having fun. Cut out that.
Stop having fun, thing. Jason. Yeah, no, we have a lot of fun off camera, man. Well, especially you and I, obviously, because we're doing podcasts, we're going on the road, doing shows, we're having a lot of fun. And we do have fun during our scenes, obviously.
Absolutely. But the thing is, like, most of the fun is, so like, you know, something when we have a scene and something fun or interesting happens in the scene, you know, we can't react to that. We can't show our satisfaction in that
on
screen, right? So like something... when those moments happen, that is super fun. But that's in a different space. It's us as being, it's us in our creative space, respecting each other as actors, having a moment and being like, oh, that was cool. But the stuff that we're doing on the road is all about fun.
Yes, buddy.
And, you know, we try to bring fun to the people in the audience, but boy, is it fun for us too.
Oh, we have a great time.
So Tracy, I would say, yes, we have as much fun and even more so.
Off camera.
You come out to a show and see it for yourself.
Yeah.
Right, Tracy? All right. Our next question is, this is from Becky. Becky wants to know.
I was just wondering, how many times do you guys have to audition before you made it onto the GH cast?
So Steve, we've heard your story when Mark
too many times.
Too many times. So when Mark Teschner was on the pod, we talked about but that first time that they called you in when they were lining you up with guys, that was your first call, correct?
No. The first time I auditioned for AJ and Mark remembered me for Jason. He brought me back.
Did you read for Jason before the screen test?
Oh yes.
You did, okay. Yeah.
Three times. So around three times, and then we had the screen test.
I see. Okay.
So that was kind of the protocol then, where you'd audition for Mark, then you'd bring him in for producers, then maybe bring him back for producers and Gloria, and then you would screen test.
Oh wow!
At the time, so it was a lot of auditioning for sure.
Yeah, it's a gauntlet. Yeah, and I had, I think, just two.
Good.
My audition scene was so crazy because they blew up my apartment and my cat was in it.
Your cat?
Yeah. So in the scene,
you had a cat?
Oh, no, I never did on screen.
But off screen you had a cat.
In the audition scenes, I had a cat.
Oh,
I'm
not sure
it ever made it into the canvas.
Did it have a name?
No, just my cat. Like, but it was cool because it made like it gave. You know, he was talking to lamenting about, like, I think it was Alcazar, some bad guy blowing up his apartment, and they got his cat. And so,
oh man, that's how John Wick started, buddy. Watch out.
Oh yeah, right.
Can you imagine? Jackal Spinelli.
Yeah, just
killed my rampage. You shouldn't have killed my cat.
Shouldn't have killed my cat, man. Well, Spinelli kind of talked like Keanu Reeves at the beginning.
Yeah, totally did.
And so after that first meeting with Mark, I just had a callback, I think, and it was with Mark and Jill Farron Phelps, who was the executive producer at the time.
Right,
and
right.
And I think Bob Guza, maybe Elizabeth Cordy was in the room too, one of the assistant writers. And they just, I remember I walked in and I had been cutting my own hair for about a year at that point.
And people think you're lying, but you did really cut your own hair.
I did. It was awesome. It was, I grabbed it, and I think I've told the story before, but I grabbed it in one, like I grabbed it at the top, would snip, just grab it on the side, snip, grab it on the other side, four cuts.
What, how did you even think about
it? I would just shake it out.
And
it would,
how did you even think about doing that?
I don't know. Cause you know what it was? That kind of like shaggy bowl look, it wasn't a bowl look, but that shaggy look was working for me. And it was getting mentioned, like, cause I was doing it. I had it when I was doing theater and people like mentioned it in reviews and stuff. I was like, this look is working for me. And then I'd go and I have a lot of money. So I was like, what they were doing, the way it would end up, I was like, I can do this. It doesn't, there's no you know, massive layering happening. No,
you're saying that you can cut hair better than someone at Supercuts.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
I think I only had two auditions. Because I think the callback was that first callback was the last one. And then, because, you know, I wasn't supposed to be around for very long, so they didn't care.
Yeah, no, you made it. But, I lingered. To answer her question, sometimes it just, you know, it can vary every audition. So people get offered parts, people have to audition five times, people have to screen test, people have to audition once. It just sometimes, but typically you have to go in, read, you get a call back, and then you get some type of other audition or screen test. So
totally. Well, thank you for your question, Becky.
Thank you.
Teresa, she has a question, and I'm curious what you're going to say about this one. I'm
calling to ask if there's any possibility of Bradford coming back to the show full time and joining with Sam, since Curtis has broke ties with her, and it will become Morgan and, McCall and the Jackal. Or if he can't come back full time, if Steve, you will consider joining forces with Sam. Since you, Jason and Sam break all the cases together anyway, and it could become Morgan and McCall.
Very interesting question. I did notice.
Yes, it is.
I got to say, I noticed that Sam and Curtis parted ways, and it just.
Oh, did you? I had no idea.
I feel like there's an opening there for a little McCall and Jackal.
You guys,
you know,
you guys worked good together. It should be Jackal and McCall, or McCall and Jackal.
That's right. We should just go alphabetically, really. So Jackal and McCall. We had this. Okay. I mean, we did have this whole talk back when we opened the shop, and I forget why she won. Well, I mean, I know why she won.
But well, she's Sam. That's why she won.
Sam won, but yeah, I forget if there was some reasoning behind it or not. But
well, I think I should leave my name off of it since I'm a hitman.
Well, no, but the interesting part is if Spinelli doesn't come back on a regular basis, which is entirely possible, why wouldn't Sam and Jason work together? And make it.
Well, we kind of do work together. We just don't need to open a building and put our names on it.
Well, but then it could be your way to go clean, man. Like I can stop.
Oh, no. Let's not talk. Let's not talk crazy talk now.
You'd be a great private investing.
Now this getting out of the business thing that Sonny and I tinkered with and toyed with, that's not happening.
Never.
So let's not even go there. But McCall, Morgan and Jackal is a nice. That's
McCall,
nice. It's like a,
McCall,
that's
McCall.
Like a law firm. That's McCall, like a law firm.
McCall, Jackal, and Morgan. Jackal, McCall, and Morgan?
Okay, so then now it's just going to be McCall and Morgan.
McJackal.
No.
McJackal, Morgan.
McJagger? No, the Jackal's not on it anymore.
Oh, so it is going to be Morgan and McCall.
Pretty much.
Morgan, McCall, and that guy.
that guy with the weird hair, he cuts his own hair, that guy, that weirdo.
So Teresa, well, let your imagination go wild with that one.
Yes, thank you for the question.
Faishan, thank you for your question, Faishan. She wants to know,
what's your favorite part about General Hospital, about good memories?
Well, thank you, Faishan, for your question. This is kind of a weird one, because it's a bittersweet moment, but it was the back in 2013 or 2014 when I officially left for the first time, and I wasn't sure I was ever coming back. And you know, sometimes when that happens, if someone's been there for a while, they'll like call everybody up to the stage and do a cake and just give you a proper send off, if you will. And you know, I'd been there for 7 years. And the reason why this came to mind is because I got to basically tell everybody there how much they meant to me.
That's cool.
And talk about how, you know, how I went through a very, you know, formative time in my life. I went from a single man to then being a married father of two, and that,
yeah.
You know, and part of being there was seeing all these people and the crew and the cast and the administration, all these people that were in the entertainment industry that were incredible people and not crazy. Like, do you know, like a lot of people that I had met in the entertainment industry were not necessarily role models for the kind of family I wanted to have, or or just like, these people had been doing this job, some for 30 years, some for whatever, and had found a way to have a successful life and a happy life. And in so many different, you know, actors, as I said, actors, technicians, directors, all mm-hmm. these people with different responsibilities that had found a way to make a life in Los Angeles and do whatever, what they wanted from it, whether they wanted a family or not, whatever. And so that was, and I got to tell everybody how much just them being the people that they were was such an influence on me to be the kind of person that I wanted to be, you know? And
that's cool, man.
And so that, you know, so I know it's weird, cause it's like, oh, my favorite memory is leaving. It's not that. It was being able to address, you don't get that opportunity to address a crowd of people that you've worked with, that you care a lot about, of to actually tell them what they mean to you.
Right. And it's great, because look, the question's tough, because there's so many memories I have, so many great memories, so many great stories. So I've been there 20 plus years. So,
right.
I mean, it's half my life, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to single out one particular time. I mean, I look back and fondly at the time I had with the Quartermains. I used to love the Quartermain get-togethers, and all the time we would have the holiday scenes. Everybody was always so excited because it was like a big family, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I'll say, you know, when I left in 2012, I got to do what you were able to do too. I couldn't even talk though. I couldn't even get through it. So it was so emotional for me that it was so difficult that I couldn't even speak. But what it meant so much to me is everybody wore a black t-shirt.
That's right.
Right. So I was just like really touched, like, guys I didn't even really know who worked in the shop.
Yeah.
You know, guys, people who I don't even barely see twice a year. Everyone came down and was wearing black t-shirts, and it was just, you know, it was already difficult. And then that just was like, you know, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, thank you, Faishan, for,
thank you for the questions, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for your questions. And since we're doing, you know, since we're trying to catch up on questions, there's another thing we haven't done in quite a while.
What's that, sir?
With that.
Oh! Music to my ears. Mean tweets.
So this one is actually, you know, we just talked about this with Teresa's question. GH put out a tweet saying, Curtis has some bad news for Sam. What does it mean for the future of Ashford and McCall? And someone very nice wrote in, bring in Spinelli at Beaufort Anderson. And then someone else had some thoughts about that.
Can't wait to hear those thoughts.
Those thoughts go a little something like this. Hell no. Spin shit. I don't know.
Spin poop.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. Spin poop. Yep. I was going to say, you know what? I'll add a beep later, but no, let's just go with spin poop. Is an idiot in Jam. I'm guessing Jason Sam is Jam.
We're jamming. We be jamming.
Is boring as hell.
Wow.
So,
ouch.
Yeah. Ouchy, ouch. So she doesn't like us.
That wasn't that mean.
I don't think I've ever been called spin poop.
Spin ship.
Yeah, I am an idiot. I mean,
that's not even true. I'm the idiot.
It depends how you look at idiot. If you look at it as just like a person with little brain function, i.e., you, or someone that acts
Or
idiotic.
Or somebody who's really, really good looking and has great hair. Me. Thanks.
Yeah, that's you're right. Well, let's change the definition of idiot. Let's turn it on.
Just put my picture in the dictionary. Be like, who's this idiot? Oh, that's the idiot from General Hospital. Oh man. Mean tweets.
Always good. I know that won't make the Hall of Fame, but it was just
now that won't. Oh dude, we should have a mean tweet Hall of Fame.
Oh, I think we do. We say that on our show.
Oh, we're gonna do it, dude. Actually, we need to do it once a year.
Oh, you're right. Get a yearly like tweets of the year.
Yeah, mean tweet Hall of Fame, and we'll involve the listeners, and we'll figure out what the best one is for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Or Hall of Shame.
Hall of Shame.
Yeah.
So you and I are on tour this week.
Yes.
We have another exciting thing that we wanted to bring up.
This is an interesting thing.
It's an opportunity that Facebook sent us. They're trying this new thing to basically just give creators like ourselves more opportunities to share stuff with their followers.
Right.
So you can become a supporter of ours on Facebook. And with that comes privileges. And so what that means for us is that we're going to be sending premier content more above and beyond what we do already. We're not taking
what this means for us is we're not only going to have a lot more fun, but we're going to have a lot more work and actually probably have to hire somebody.
Well, that's the thing. And we may have to expand our team, which would be okay with.
It's great.
So basically, all of our stuff will remain the same on our Facebook page. Like you'll still get the stuff that you always get. But for people that want more, there's an opportunity to become a supporter. And
dude, we're going to crush this content. I'm so excited, dude.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be able to post stuff like from on the road. We're going to do lives on the road. We have so many things.
Segments that are just for subscribers,
yes,
or supporters. It's gonna be a lot of fun for us. It's gonna be more work, but that's stuff we're excited about, right?
That's okay. Like, yeah. Like, and we're gonna be able to create like this podcast we're doing now. We could actually play the whole thing on Facebook.
One of the things that's gonna be cool about it is people have always asked for longer podcast videos.
Yes,
and podcast videos, right. And supporters will be able to get those.
Yeah, it's going to be cool, man. I mean, we're going to be able to do, on the road, behind the scenes. I'm going to do motivational stuff. You're going to drink a lot. We're going to do a lot of live Q&As.
Yeah.
We're going to put a lot of content on there, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So,
it's one of the great things about what we're doing together is creating things and doing things with you all. And this is an added way to have more of that.
I almost see it as almost kind of like we've already always talked about SC and JTV, kind of, because we're going to be able to create stuff and we're going to be able to do things that we want to do. And this is kind of be like our, because we've talked about it before already.
Right.
And then this pilot program with Facebook has come up. We were looking at other platforms to do this exact thing.
We wanted to offer content and not just like interactive content, but also like things that are out of the corners of our brain that we can share.
But now we're able to do it all in one place, which is great. It's made it easy for us. Hopefully makes it easy for everybody else. And we're really excited.
That was one of the things is we were like, okay, if we created this content somewhere else, how do we get everybody to find it? And Facebook gave us this great opportunity to just people. If you're on our Facebook page already, you'll just see it there, and it'll all be there. It'll just be added content that you'll get right where you know where to get it already. So next time you're on our Facebook page, if you see the option to become a supporter, check it out.
Yeah, check it out, because I'm going to post maybe some stuff from on the road, part of our show that we're not supposed to post, but maybe I will. So there.
You're crazy, buddy. You're crazy.
All right, buddy. I'm so excited to get on the road this week. We're going to have so much fun.
Yep. This will go up Wednesday at midnight. So we will be on our way to Huntsville.
On our way to Huntsville.
On our way to Greensboro.
Great. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. Huntsville, Dallas, Houston, and then Phoenix. So go check us out at StoneColdJackal.com. We can't wait to see you guys. As always, we appreciate you. We thank you so much for your support, for just letting us be two idiots.
Thank you for letting us be idiots. And for letting us change the word of idiots to fine-looking men with great hair.
Yes. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll talk to you
guys.
All
right, buddy. I'll see you guys.
Listen up, ladies. Are you looking for a relatable, unapologetic view on life? The Ladies Like Us podcast is now on the Lady Gang Network and Podcast One. Let Nazneen Mandy and Nadia Moham provide you with a modern-day women's perspective on the universal issues women face each and every day. Download new episodes of Ladies Like Us with Nazneen and Nadia every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.